Good evening. I'd like to call to order the July 18th. I had to check the date here. July 18th meeting of the Public Works Advisory Board. And first, we'll do the roll call by people going around and saying their names.
Good evening. My name is Noah Smuckler.
Roger Ewing.
Vicki Landis.
Jane Wolfsbach.
Bill Olson.
And I'm Barry Dorfman, and chairing the meeting tonight, and want to indicate that Dan Glesman, though, was not able to make it, but we still do have a quorum, and so we'll proceed first with a moment of silence. Okay. And next, we will go to acceptance of the agenda, and we already know of one change. The item six, the public presentation on the use of the recycling guide in the phone book, we're feeling our way to how we coordinate things as we're presenting things in our own agenda plan. So we got some crossed wires, and that will not be tonight. And later we'll discuss when it will be there. We just had some miscommunications with when they were available, and so we didn't do the publicity, because when we do these public information presentations, such as the one that was done on undergrounding utilities at the last meeting, we do some advanced publicity, so people are aware of it. And I don't know if you had anything further, Noah, or we'll take it up when we review the plan. Okay. But so with that change, are there any other can the agenda be accepted with that change as is? Okay, I detect we're all in agreement. And now we will proceed to announcements. And just start if you have any announcements.
Okay, just to announce again the pervious concrete workshop sponsored by the California Construction and Industrial Materials Association. And the pervious concrete is a concrete pouring technique that uses less sand, so the final product actually has a higher absorption value for rainwater runoff and so on. And it's been promoted throughout the state and country as a answer to some of the problems we have with urban rainwater runoff, stormwater pollution. And that workshop tomorrow is going to be all day at the San Luis Obispo City Maintenance Yard. And it's actually registration is available starting at 8:30. Workshop officially starts at 9. It's $35. And contractors that are involved with the workshop will leave the workshop with a certified pervious concrete technician's license, which is a way to identify which contractors in the area would be certified knowledgeable on the use of pervious concrete, the correct use of pervious concrete in installation. And I believe that there will be some fairly nice promotional efforts put out there for certified technicians and so on. The project coordinator and presenter tomorrow is David Akers, and he invites anyone to call him for more information at 858-437-1445. And talking to him yesterday, he said there's about 40 participants, five contractors, and he's really hoping to get more contractors involved. So I believe there are some phone calls made today to individual contractors out there. And also, we do have someone, I believe Rachel from the city is going to be attending as the city's representative, which is great. So go ahead, Barry.
Well, I just wanted to know, are you able to fit that in on?
I'm planning on dropping by around noon is when they actually move from more discussion, information sharing to hands-on. They actually encourage participants who would like to get hands-on to bring their work boots or materials that they're comfortable wearing. And I will plan on going by there, but actually a question I had at some point was, how will the city use the information or make information that's available at the workshop available in the future? That's not an announcement, I guess.
I can answer.
Well, why don't we answer it now?
Okay.
Yeah.
Basically, we'll use that as part of our toolbox when we're looking at new projects and looking at potential conditions to reduce the impact on the waterways. So that'll just be another tool that we'll have to use on new projects.
Well, I'll
let's continue with
announcements, and then I'll bring it up during director's report to comment again about the workshop.
So again, that's tomorrow from 8:30 till 3 at the San Luis Obispo City Maintenance Yard. That's on Prado Road near their sewage treatment plant. And David Akers is the event coordinator, and he's 858-437-1445. Pervious Concrete Workshop.
Vicki?
Well, I would like to say a big thank you and appreciation to Fire Chief Mike Pond and the Morro Bay Fire Department, as well as Cayucas and South Bay, for the other folks from County Fire that came out and helped us with our training drill in burning down the old Station 53. It was really, really quite a sight to see, and I'm just really impressed with how well it was orchestrated and how well coordinated. What a great job the guys did. And so that's all. Just a thank you.
Jim? Bill? To written communications, and I have none. Does anyone else have any that they received they thought was pertinent? Then now we come to public the public comments period, and this is open to the public on any topic they choose, and we don't. I see our one attendee is saying no, so we will proceed. We already explained about the presentation on the use of the recycling guide in the phone book, and later on in the meeting we'll get that rescheduled, but that presentation is not going to take place tonight. Next is the consent calendar for the approval of the minutes, and does anyone have any changes, comments on the minutes? Hearing none, I.
We accept it.
We have a motion. Anyone second?
Second.
It's moved, seconded. We accept the minutes as they are.
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
And since everyone said aye, there are no nays. So the next is the director's report, and we've established now the practice, which you don't mind, of receiving it. What we've done is we received the report, except for those items that staff definitely want to highlight because they think it's of great importance, either to us, to remind us, or the public, or some item that particular individuals. First, we'll have staff, but what I was going to bring up on the workshop is if in the director's report it just could be on an item that if the staff member, often when people go, they produce a report or something, but just your comments on the workshop, if there is something to comment on, in terms of how you see it fitting in the toolbox, just entirely oral, no report.
We'll add an item for next time in the director's report and maybe give some examples on how pervious concrete could be implemented in the city of Morro Bay.
Are there any items in the report report dated 7/10 for tonight's meeting that you particularly want to visit?
Just want to point out that there was some, based on city council action, there was some changes to the downtown central traffic district, which reduced the speed limit on Main Street to Radcliffe and on Quintana between Main and Kennedy Way, and that's now been posted at 25 miles an hour. So PD will soon be looking to get compliance with that speed limit. And the radar trailer has been out there several times for educational purposes.
We, maybe if anyone recalls, I'm not sure who was here at the time, we had extensive discussions of that, and the staff follow-up has been, well, first city council approving staff follow-up, excellent, and we do want to hear at some point when you're able to assess, did it make a difference?
We're going to let it settle in for a little while to see how that's actually working there at Main and Radcliffe, and we're looking at alternatives, what are possible alternatives that we can accomplish there. Caltrans is also looking into, they have some question where their right-of-way actually is. Now they're thinking that Radcliffe may be outside of their right-of-way. Happened to coincide when we asked them to participate in the intersection improvements. They don't, now they're thinking that Radcliffe is completely outside of their right-of-way.
Okay, were there any other items?
That's it for me that I wanted to highlight.
And, well, we'll start going to the left. Bill, are there any items you wanted to highlight, inquire on? Jane?
I just wanted to ask a question. I don't know if the right person to answer it is here. The State Water Project, it said extractions from the Delta were restored in June with statewide deliveries for the remainder of 2007 at 60%. This equates to full requested deliveries to Morro Bay. This is really good news because I know they had talked before about maybe expanding the desal plant to accommodate, to produce the extra water that we needed, the potable drinking water. Does this mean that there won't be any improvements made to the desal plant? How is that going to impact that?
I think I would defer to the answer to that, Mr. Boucher. I'm not sure what the schedule is for improvements to the desal plant. I believe DWR is still looking for their November shutdown for the maintenance on the water line, although we're in discussions with them to perhaps adjust the timing on that so it doesn't impact us at the worst possible time of year. So we will need to run the desal plant and use groundwater to make up that difference. So I'll have Bill contact you and let you know what the status of the desal is.
Thank you.
Vicki?
Yeah, I just had a question, and I know Dylan's not here and neither is Bill. Can either of you answer any questions about the scope of which part of the harbor walk will be started? Are they going to work on everything together, or is it going to be just the area right down there, Coleman Beach area? Or
I think from overhearing in the office what's going to be going on, the relocation of Coleman Drive will probably happen first to redirect traffic and get everybody moved over. Then the demolition of Old Coleman Drive so they can construct the boardwalk portion of the Harbor Walk is sort of the sequence of the work. And then, you know, finalizing it with the landscaping at the end.
And the plans for that are available in the public services?
Yes, they are.
They can come take a look at the
final plans at our public services department. And if anybody has any questions about it, Dylan Wade in public services is the project manager for that project.
Thank you.
Roger. Noah?
Yeah, actually, question, I believe it'd be for Bill, but it's regarding the collection system, and it's a bit of a follow-up to the video inspection. It says that a number of locations were found needing repair, and that the repairs were identified and corrected on Coa Street and an adjacent easement area. And I was just wondering, were there any other locations that were identified as needing repair that might be on tap in the future, or was Coa the extent?
I don't know the answer to that question, and I can also get in touch with Mr. Boucher, and he can contact you directly on where the areas of improvement are.
If I can suggest, to save the extra phone call, there's no reason and anything that if staff isn't here, we want to follow up on. No, you just call directly, because you'll be calling him to call Noah when Noah can just call directly, unless if that's okay.
It's not really a phone call. It's a stick my head out of the office
okay.
door.
Fine. If you're both ways.
Yeah.
Whoever gets there first.
I'll remind Bill, and if you want to make a follow-up phone call, that would work also.
Is it?
I do have a question, if I may.
Yes,
sir. Are we setting a pattern in which Mr. Boucher will no longer be here at the meetings?
I think he will not be here on a routine basis, but if there are items on the agenda that he is involved with, other than the director's report, he will be attending these meetings. So he probably will not be here on a regular basis.
So what? Then we're making a change in how we address the director's report, because if we have questions, and I usually ask questions predominantly for the benefit of the public, and if we ask questions and only Mr. Boucher can answer them, why bother?
Well,
if he's not here and the public therefore won't know, I mean, it becomes a communication between staff and just the board, and the public is left out of the process of communication. That's my concern.
Okay.
Because for the past 2 weeks or the past two meetings, the only questions that have occurred on the director's report have been for Mr. Boucher, apparently. And if Mr. Boucher isn't here to answer them, do you understand where I'm coming from?
Yes, I do.
Okay. You can maybe make that noted to staff, and maybe they might have an answer next meeting on how to further elicit communication for the public. Thank you.
If I could, I had the same thought, but I view that the city will allocate its resources, and if we think that, to say, I think that when I bring up something, yes, it's for the public, but I have no real validation that it is greater than what exists. But I had the same sense you did and thought about it, and my approach is that if there's something, one, we get this in time to call in advance and we can report on a conversation. If there's an item that we want to discuss, we'll put it on the agenda to discuss and ask that the staff be there for that. And I think that would be accommodated.
Well, the other alternative I was going to suggest is that if there is, as you mentioned, an item that one of us believes would be of interest to the public, then it might behoove us to call Mr. Boucher, get an answer, and then at the meeting mention it. And that's what I'm trying to establish.
And that is
that a pattern that we need to follow?
And I think
change in the communication process on the director's report of each meeting?
We'll discuss this in the interim, staff-wise, and see if we want to make any changes to who is staffing the.
Well, it's not so much who is staffing. It's just if we know ahead of time that, one, we have questions, and two, staff isn't going to be here. as a normal pattern, then we need to have our questions asked before the meeting, and then we can distribute that information to the public.
See, if I could follow that up and I think suggest a couple approaches. One, we don't want in any way to inhibit what's on the director's report, its scope, because that is very good and very informative in scope, and often there would be things that Bill couldn't deal with because what was salient at the moment was something in someone else's bailiwick. So we don't want to, have that inhibited, because for those members of the public who actually will go look at an agenda packet, it's also very helpful. As questions come up, and I was speaking for myself, I have things I imagine are important, but maybe they aren't, but I'll still go ahead and bring them up because I think that's a role we all play. We all have different perspectives and contacts in the public. What I think, Roger, taking it a step further, what would be very helpful is if when the agenda, when we get our packets, which is just the week before, there'd be some indication of what staff are expecting to attend. And then we would know how to act. If Bill is coming, then fine. If you're not coming and there is a question, say, about, gee, we heard there were three accidents at Radcliffe, what's going on? See, we'd call you. So knowing what staff are coming, we did presume Janine was going to be here tonight because of the agenda. But knowing who among the staff, and I think that would help if we knew that, that's all. It isn't because we know the resources. But if we just knew, then we can act accordingly. And I think that you can satisfy the city's needs to how they allocate resources and our needs to know what's going on to fulfill our role. I think that'll work.
Okay. And, another idea is if we have questions ahead of time, Rob seems to be a constant presence here. Maybe we could ask the question through Rob and get the answer waiting for us. That way we can get it live. We can ask our questions live and get an answer as well.
Yeah, that would work for me, and okay. I think it's reasonable to let you know who's going to be at the meeting, given that it's, we'll have that agenda out ahead of time.
And it could even be not sure. I mean, I think that we have the nubbins of what will be the solution, and we'll play with it and make it work.
I do like that idea, though, of well, I'm sure at that point, Rob, you'd be pretty aware of the question at hand. But to have the city itself answer the question instead of one of us trying to be the middle person.
That's a very good point. That I think if we'll see how it works, more directing it to that doesn't prohibit the calling, say, Bill directly or Janine directly, and saying we're going to hope Rob will, we're going to give Rob a line that we want to ask about this, but we may know about it, give them a high sign so they can think about it. Okay. Moving, let's see, I actually...
I guess actually quickly to follow up on the previous concrete workshop, I guess my request would be that if there were handouts or informational pamphlets that they had available there to see about potentially having those available in the planning department for the general public as another follow-through would be.
And I'll also see if there aren't any extras that we can, at least get the summary of the workshop in your packet for next time.
Bill?
I notice on here that the state water deliveries for the rest of the year will be 60%, but it says this equates to the full requested deliveries by Tomorrow Bay. Now, the reason for that, in spite of the fact that the state water will be delivering 60% the rest of the year to most places, we will get 100% because about 10 years ago, an item came before this board an idea that the city, for a small fee, buy the insurance and pay a little more to the state water system and have an additional 100% available to us on an emergency basis. We don't get more than our 1,313 acre feet, but when the state delivers less than normal, we will still get our 1,313, and at this point it comes home to roost. We will continue to get our full water allocation.
As long as there's not a serious interruption in the water supply.
As long as there isn't any water, yeah.
Okay. I had one question on an item. It's listed as bills, but it was on the parking management plan, which, again, we discussed extensively here. Just wanted to know if the council has taken any actions, or they're still in the gathering input phase. That's all.
I believe that's the case, and it's noted in here that there'll be a workshop scheduled for August 17th on the parking management plan, although I'm hearing that might be deferred due to the availability of the consultant till September meeting.
But that will be a public.
It will be a public.
And they'll usually publicize. The city does a really decent job of trying to publicize those public workshops once they.
The idea is to have a study session with council so they can get to in-depth on the parking management plan.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's something we want to be updated on just to make sure that the people know.
Yes, we'll make sure everybody's updated. And, you know, please come to the meeting also.
We had our 2 cents, but doesn't mean we can't come. If the director's report is finished, we'll now move to the our recurring item of our agenda work plan. And in it, on the grid, which can we put one up for the public? Let's see, I keep on. Can someone take one of theirs? Appreciate that. Next time I will, the extra is on my desk to bring. And I don't know what, if we can signal folks in the TV room, in the control room, that we have something we want to show. In the future, if I have that on disk, would that be better?
We certainly can work with that.
Pardon?
We can work with that.
Well, would that give a better image for the public?
Yeah, it would come out better over the television.
Oh, okay. That.
The clean digital copy.
To quickly review, we're trying to use the recycling guide in the phone book. I also said in my text that I couldn't remember how we renamed the water management plan. I read my writing as urban, but thought I may have gotten it mixed up with the urban foreign management plan. But when I didn't get it mixed up. I just didn't believe my own notes. So I'll, in the future, call that urban water shutdown management plan. And I think some of the issues of the plans for the desal and when will be important.
The shutdown wasn't in there.
There.
That was a
water management plan.
Oh, yes. Excuse me. Okay. Got it. And then in looking at it, do you know about the sanitary sewer system management plan? Bill was dubious even for August. Do you have any information? Did he?
No, he didn't relay what his schedule is for bringing that forward.
Okay. We tentatively last time had said, had put the urban forest management plan. Do you think you're ready to go with the materials?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So we'll
In September or August?
You...
That's when we scheduled it for, in September.
Well, I put it in August, but that's fine. So if we make it September, and then the review of the Bayside Living Guide, make that October, because that was to be in the fall.
Actually, let me follow up quickly with the recycling guide presentation. It actually, with discussion to the IWMA, it turns out that the new phone book and recycling guide is going to be made available most likely in October. So, yeah, we thought it'd be kosher to have the presentation that coincide with the new recycling guide release and phone book release kind of as a kickoff, and there will be some new details as far as collection.
Do you think that would be more sensible in October or November? It depends what time of the month people get their phone books.
Yeah, I would say that it could be either. The IWMA is flexible to...
But you know, when with the phone books, see, it'd be better if people had the phone books in hand.
Yeah. Okay, so let's
appropriate in September or October,
October.
I think it really is driven to some degree, which it is, as to when you do the urban forest management plan. Mm-hmm. So do you want to try that for October or September? I mean, August or September?
September? September, please.
Okay. And then I think what that leaves So the Bayside Living Guide would be October, because I think based on the length of meetings, unless there's multiple items we know coming from staff. Do you know of any on the traffic end that are coming?
No, there's no.
No, and I'm not aware. And right now, unless Bill has the sanitary sewer system management plan, we will have nothing planned of ours for August, which is okay. If staff have nothing, then we won't have a meeting, but that's okay. You know, the system is that we don't want to force and just take time just to have something or for one item. So, and I'll repeat and ask anyone if this is different than their understanding. The Urban Forest Management Plan will be 9/19 in September, which means, and I'll be in contact with the publicity will be the weeks before that it's going to be discussed, and have some materials to put in the packet, that the Bayside Living Guide will be October, and the phone book recycling guide will be in November in order to make sure that it is after the new phone books. And I think being that's certainly enough ahead, and items will come up from the city. And I'll by next week, Rob. But I suppose in October there's nothing from council. We might consider then having two items of ours, or say November is the better. We might then move the Bayside Living Guide to November and combine it with the phone book. And there's nothing wrong in a meeting of just our items. We just don't want to have a meeting just for one, that's all. Mm-hmm. Is that the agreeable, Jane? Mm-hmm. Bill? Okay. So...
As far as our urban water management plan discussion, we'll table that for now as far as putting that into the calendar.
No, it's in the queue. It was voted in the queue last time, so it's whenever you feel it's ripe, which has to do with you got quite a few a document and stuff to review. And I think in one-on-one discussion with Noah, and the only one of the board I talked to about it, Rob Schultz here, is it just
me and you,
us,
buddy,
that he was reviewing it both from the perspective of, if you looked at all the questions you might have or all the bases you think you'd want to cover, what's covered, and Noah's working on a list of what's not covered, and that we maybe would want to discuss from the point of view of, is there any way we can help flushing those? You know, I mean, it was to be constructive. But that was the, it was my understanding, that's the way you were approaching the analysis?
Yes, that, and to revisit the issue and the plan in respect to the recent developments with our water supply, the nitrate warning and state water shutdown, so on. Seemed like a good discussion to have with new details and developments.
Part of, just to recount, part of the discussion when it was made urban water management plan was that the annual shutdown, what to do in emergencies, the role of the desal as it's anticipated into the future would be all components of that rather than just focusing on the shutdown. So whenever that's ripe, and report each time.
Yeah, and I've been reviewing it online. I have a copy online. I could print that up, but I was wondering if there's any existing copies that...
involved with something. But beyond that, you make up your mind on the agenda, and we should live with it.
Well, I
it doesn't...
appreciate the powers granted, and I think in future that may be, we may be more succinct in this part of the process, but since we're embarking on a new process, and I'm very sensitive that I have my idea of what it ought to be, but I want to actually have a board consensus of how we're proceeding, and if the cost of it is more wordiness, so be it, because we are in a new kind of process. But I think by the discussion, when then things come up with working with staff of when theirs is and that, I can make, sometimes I'll make some ad hoc decisions just because have to, other events that we didn't know about force it.
I like being included in the process. I think it's a good idea to, you know, and I think it will get more hasty as time goes on. One comment here on the switch from the aqueduct to the well water notification. Obviously, if we're going to switch off the aqueduct into our well water in November, we need to have that somewhere on the agenda. Otherwise, it's going to be after we've already done the switch. It doesn't make any sense.
I think... well, that's part of the urban water management plan. I think as that comes up, will come up as a item in the director's report. And we end up having as much discussion at that point as we want. And if we think there's hanging issues, then we will schedule it for an item to be continued in a public hearing.
Yeah, I actually hope to, in light of what happened last year with the nitrate situation, I actually had hoped that we would get a copy of whatever notification was going to be put, maybe in the water bill. I'm not sure how they're going to notify the public that they're making the switch, but that we would actually get a copy of what's going out to review and to have it thereby publicized to the, you know, to the public here at our meeting.
I think I should be fully reviewed by then with the urban water management plan, and if we'd like to fold the...
UR is a very large organization, and that is difficult to get them to change their way of thinking for Morro Bay. We didn't meet immediate success with our first discussions with DWR, but we haven't given up yet either.
I was just curious if that would set back. The rest is, you know, we always do shut down in November, and I had understood that I thought that a document had already been written up by Bill Boucher as far as what would be notifying the public as far as that shutdown, because it happens every year anyway. But with all the problems that were going on, the idea was to set out notifications to the public to just let them know for sure that it was. But nothing had changed with the fact that we do have the annual shutdown in November every year.
I think the message is, if in September we aren't hearing that we're really going to be hearing about this on the agenda in October, then we can get the more narrow, specific information. And so I think we'll tend it till then.
Well, are you suggesting then that we hold in advance the possibility of NOAA presenting it in October instead of November?
I thought NOAA was planning for October. And so if in September he says, gee, not going to make it, then we may want to have a TAC for that subsection. But if he's going to make it, then everything's fine. Moving on to new business, and are you here for this item?
To listen.
Fine. I like the informality of the set by our previous chair. If, as the item develops, feel that you do want to comment on it, we reopen the public comment period for that. You know. Janine?
Thank you.
You'll announce the topic. And
tonight, the item you have for your consideration is the request for proposals for operation of transit services in San Luis Obispo County as it relates to Morro Bay services for our Dial-A-Ride and our trolley. Various other agencies, the City of Atascadero, City of Pasadena, submit proposals, and we'd get some better competition and hopefully some better prices. One of the other ideas was, or one of the hopes was, that we might be able to see some economies of scale through either sharing project managers like we've done in the past with the cities of Atascadero and Paso Robles, or things like sharing safety and training managers, having a driver pool that we could draw from if we were having some issues here locally, and that kind of thing. So with that, the city's agreement expired June 30th of this year, and we have a couple of years extensions on the agreement, so we felt it would be worthwhile to go through the RFP process, see if we could achieve some cost savings, or at a minimum hold the cost increases that might be coming to as little as possible.
Excuse me, when you refer to the city's agreement, you mean the agreement with the current operator of our trolley and our...
Yes.
Okay, not an agreement with some larger regional entity.
Right. All the agencies have their own separate agreements, and under this RFP process, there would be one agreement. However, each agency would be still an individual. Okay. We'd still control our own services and have particular contact and reporting requirements and things that would be specific to our own individual agencies. So over the course of several months, because this was a very complex RFP process, there's lots of different services, there's lots of different reporting requirements, there's not a lot of standardization other than we all have these particular transit services, and the training for drivers is pretty much set by the federal and state governments. So it was very complex. So we wanted to make sure that we had everything available in the RFP that was going out. We wanted to make sure that all of the prospective bidders understood what we were trying to do, understood all of the individual components and requirements. And so this process took a little bit longer than what our normal RFP process for transit services would have taken. But we all felt that it was worth it to make sure that the proposals we would be getting in would be for the services that we were requesting, and that the agencies that were submitting those proposals understood what we were requesting. So we've met several times. We developed an RFP, which went out in early February, and proposals were due at the end of March. We've reviewed them for clarification of information. So with that, we had four different companies who submitted proposals: First Transit, Laidlaw Transit Services, MV Transportation, and Southland Transit. And we also had different cost options that the proposers could submit cost estimates for. Ideally, our hope was that we could have one contractor doing all of the services, and so that was called the consortium option. If for some reason one member in the group of agencies, those proposals didn't work for them and they pulled out, there would be other alternatives that were submitted at the choice of the company that could then be reviewed and possibly followed up on. So for the city of Morro Bay, there was three options: the consortium option with all the agencies, an option with just the cities of Paso Robles, Atascadero, and Morro Bay, and a third option with the city of Atascadero and Morro Bay. So table A in your staff report has those three cost proposals as they relate to Morro Bay Dial Ride and the trolley services from each of the individual companies. After we did a review, it was pretty apparent that kind of the numbers were all over the place. What was working for the RTA, the company that was the lowest proposer for them was the highest or next to highest for many of the other agencies, and vice versa. So the RTA, after we did the best and finals, they made a decision to take to their board this morning that they would be recommending their board reject all proposals, extend their current agreement with Southland Transit for a year, and then come back in a year and start through a whole nother RFP process. The city of Paso Robles is recommending that their council award the contract to Laidlaw Transit, and the city of Atascadero is also considering Laidlaw. So what we did was look again at the Laidlaw proposal as it fits under the other two alternatives that were submitted and see whether or not that was going to be something that was acceptable and workable for the city. And when you look in Table A, you see that for overall, for both the Dial-A-Ride and the trolley services, Laidlaw was the lowest overall cost. But then when you looked at the individual components, while Laidlaw was the lowest for the Dial-A-Ride service, they were the highest for the trolley. An 80% cost increase, which would be for the first year of the agreement, and then over 140% cost increase in the second year, coming from the general fund, was just not something that the city could bear at this time. So with all the avenues exhausted in the RFP process, our remaining kind of our fallback plan is what staff is going to be recommending to this board as you recommend to the city council, which is to reject the proposals for the request of proposals for operation of transit services in San Luis Obispo County as it relates to the Morro Bay Dial-A-Ride and trolley services. Also recommend that the council extend the existing Dial-A-Ride and trolley operations and management agreement with MV Transportation through fiscal year 2008-2009, which would be the 2 years extensions that are in the current agreement, pursuant to the conditions that are set forth in the agreement. And third, to authorize the city manager to open negotiations with MV Transportation and then return to council for the final compensation approval. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to the board for any questions or comments.
I've got a few, Janine. The first one is on the second and third page there, just the three contractors were listed. Did Southland not come in for direct service to the city? Is that why they're not listed in there? It's just listing the MV and Laidlaw and First Transit. It's the bottom of page.
Yeah, Southland, they had just submitted a proposal for the consortium option.
Okay, okay.
So what's listed on pages 2 and 3 of the staff report are looking at the Paso, Atascadero, Morro Bay option specifically, and they opted not to submit a proposal for that.
Okay. And the other question is, the recommendation to extend the contract with MV rather than pursue, say, for instance, First Transit that had kind of a balance with the lower rate for the trolley operation that would come out of our general funds and a reasonable rate for Morro Bay Dollar Ride. Is the reason for that because the timing isn't sufficient for us to go through negotiations for an RFP directly?
Well, what happens with the option, the Paso, Atascadero, Morro Bay option, if Paso or Atascadero contracts with somebody other than First Transit,
is it, which table can you refer me? Is there one that's got the three or four contractors or the three contractors, I guess, for just our city?
On table A, which would be after page 3.
Yeah. Okay.
It lists the three different cost options, the consortium, which is on the left, the middle one, which is Paso, Atascadero, Morro Bay option. And that shows all the different proposers and what their cost proposal was going to be in that particular option during the 3 years of the contract. And so,
but there wasn't one that was just specifically for our city because of the way we did the joint RFP.
Well, there some of them did submit individual proposals, but what you're going to see is that they're going to be even more expensive than what are here because certain cost savings and economies of scale you'd be achieving in each of these proposals as the consortium option goes away.
The cost for
the costs are still there.
Agencies go up.
And exactly.
Okay. I just wanted to see if there was, because I couldn't find one in there, if there was one that was a breakdown of the three contractors just for our city, or if they, you know, declined to submit just for our city, or if we never were able to consider that with the way the joint RFP went through.
Well, with the way that the RFP was developed and what was submitted from the some of the companies and some chose not to, the individual proposals were just not going to be acceptable because they were much higher than the joint proposals.
Thank you.
You had a few questions. Just looking through the report, interested in, it's on page 25, it's the compliance summary, and these are just a few questions. I was curious to see in item number 2 under the requirements, why our compliance audit, we've been in non-compliance for those years. That's just kind of something that jumped out as one of the few that were not in compliance.
You're in
with
the triennial performance audit.
Yeah, you're not on. Are you looking at the RFP?
I'm looking at both. That's what.
Well, we're not discussing the audit. That was under the director's.
Don't look at the one that's in the director's report, which is the
other. Yeah.
Separate.
Okay. Yes.
That's.
It was confusing to keep someone.
Yeah. History. Well, I guess the question I would have does actually go back in a way to the director's report. Mm-hmm. I felt like that question of what is the wage that the city feels would keep our drivers and our turnover rate low.
I'm going to intercede and say, is the issue of wages and what's considered an adequate wage and driver turnover part of the RFP process?
Yes.
Okay, discuss it from that point of view,
right,
because I don't.
When all the agencies were meeting, all of us have had issues with driver turnover, and they more often than not relate to what the driver is getting paid. They're getting paid, you know, kind of minimum wage, so they're getting paid the same as a person in a fast food restaurant for the most part starting out. And they have a lot of training, a lot of licensing, and a lot of responsibilities. And some people just can't handle that, and the wage issue becomes a problem. One of the things that the group in the RFP as a way of trying to address that was to set a minimum wage for starting. And so I don't know if you read through the whole RFP, but there's a requirement in there that the minimum starting wage be 1.5 times the California minimum wage. And so in the RFP process, we were taking that into consideration. And as we were going through the review and it was looking like we're all going to kind of be breaking off and doing our own thing, we had the discussion again of, well, if we all contract with somebody different, are we still going to bring forward this idea to our individual councils and boards of having that minimum starting wage? because the turnover issue will still be there, the lower wage will still be there unless we'd made some sort of change. And we all kind of agreed, yes, that's something we want to bring forward to our boards and our councils in whichever agreements we're coming forward with, whether it's as a consortium as a whole or whether we break up and we do something completely different. So it's the city staff's intent when this goes to council and when we open up the negotiations with MV, the current agreement that we have, the addressing of compensation for MV is a percentage of a CPI adjustment. But that doesn't take care of the wage issue. So when we bring it to council and when we go to MV and start talking about, okay, we're going to extend the contract for 2 years, this is an area that we want to have a discussion on.
It's discussed, and that's always been an issue. The other, in your discussions, and I'm keeping it to the RFP, but in your, since you've opened it, we'll see, in your discussions were benefits discussed. And some common ground on benefits?
No.
Okay. Any other?
Just curiously about MV Transportation's track record, as the city noticed, that the service has been good as far as the number of complaints potentially. Are they there? Is the service level appropriate and satisfactory would be mm-hmm. my question.
Yes, we actually get no complaints for the trolley or the dial a ride. It's very few, if any. And so when we go through and we're doing performance reviews and stuff, and you're looking, well, we had a slight decrease in ridership, it's very hard to try to figure out why that is, because we don't have somebody who may be calling and complaining saying that they couldn't get a ride at the time they wanted or they didn't like the driver or anything like that. But I don't think those are issues. We only hear positive comments. We did a survey, I think it's probably almost 3 years ago now, and everything relating to the services, the drivers, the service itself, were all very positive. So we're comfortable with recommending extending the contract with MV and having them continue to be the provider for the next 2 years.
Jane?
Yes, I do have a couple of questions following up on what Noah said. But first, I want to thank you, Janine. This is, by the way, I've got a new bridge, and I'm trying to get used to it, which is why my voice sounds the way it does, or my diction, I should say. This is an excellent report, and I thank you. It was easily readable. I didn't have any real questions about things that were missing. But my concern is how reliable MV Transportation is, and you apparently have confirmed that they're quite reliable and we don't have any problems with them. How well do they handle the employees, the employee reputation, management-employee relationship? How is that?
In the past, when MV first took over the contract from Laidlaw, put in place, all of the issues that we were having, these were project managers who didn't live in Morro Bay, they didn't, or within the county. They were relocated from areas up north or down south. Their families were still in those areas, and ultimately, there was just problems, and they ended up leaving and going back home where they came from. So with the new project manager that was put in, who's our current project manager, she lives in Morro Bay. She started out as a driver, worked her way up as a dispatcher, as an acting project manager, and she knows the community. She knows the passengers. She knows the service, how it needs to be run. She's very enthusiastic about going out and getting more people to ride and making sure that she's complying with the standards that we have set and what's in the agreement. So I think what started out at the beginning is kind of a rocky road has ultimately over time has turned into something that's very workable and very doable.
I'm glad to hear that. Thank you. And one last question, please. Are there any foreseeable, are they unionized? Our drivers, employees, are they in a union?
No.
With,
As far as I know, they're not.
So then there's no...
Most transit agencies, their drivers are not unionized.
So there won't be any foreseeable union problems down the line then?
At this point.
Thank you, Janine. Thank you for a very good report. I appreciate it. And it has my support.
Jane?
I had a couple of questions. As I get it, the issue that we are supposed to be talking about is, do we basically rescind the RFP, reject the proposals as far as Morro Bay goes because they didn't meet our budget criteria? How is that going to impact the other cities, the Atascadero, Paso Robles, that were combined with us in this RFP? And how do we know that if we go back for an extension of the contract that the terms will be any more favorable than what we already have?
Well, the current agreement in there, it lists under what condition, or like what conditions the extension periods will have, which is basically what our current agreement is, and then there's a provision in there for increased compensation, how that's calculated. So that's already in there. What the negotiations would be for something like if we wanted to add that minimum driver wage, that would be what we would be talking about. Or if there was something else, for example, in the of perhaps the makeup of how the ridership is has changed such that you're not going to reach that 8 passengers per service hour like you used to do. We're still very efficient compared with other dialer rides of this service, but you're not going to reach that high standard so that down the road when you're doing another review, it's going to look like you're not meeting your performance target. So that would be another area that we would want to have some discussion about is we're going to do a review of these performance standards, possibly adopt new ones, and then those would be put in this contract extension as the ones that they would need to meet. So things like that. As far as how our decision for how we contract for rejecting the proposals and extending the current agreement, how that affects the other agencies in the consortium, they're all doing the same thing. They're looking at the proposals as it relates to their services and their needs. And we already have the City of Atascadero is looking at Laidlaw. The City of Paso Robles is looking at Laidlaw separately. And separate agreements. Now, Paso and Atascadero may have something, since they're both looking at Laidlaw and they're relatively close, they may end up sharing a project manager or something like that. But just in general, all of the agencies, we looked at the cost proposals with how they relate to our own services and our own needs and have made recommendations to our own councils and boards based on that. So like the RTA is making a recommendation to their board for rejecting the bids based on the cost proposals for them and how that would work for them. And the same is true for Paso and Atascadero and Morro Bay.
Bill?
No, I agree with your conclusion in the final paragraph here. So that's okay with me.
I have one more question.
Well, Vicki had another. Go ahead, Vicki. You had another question.
I think what I wanted to add was some comments, some clarification, and a little bit of history. First of all, this MV, I believe this is the end of their second contract. When we had, is that correct, Jim?
We went after the first contract, the first 3 years, we went through an RFP process and ended up awarding the contract, not rejecting the bids, but awarding the contract to MV again. Mm-hmm. So this is their second 3-year contract.
Right. And when it came back through this board for that first renewal, there was discussion as to transportation, both fixed route and demand response, which is the door-to-door service like we have for Dial-A-Ride. It brings a lot of unique characteristics that aren't really met by companies that are doing really efficient in urban areas. And having our multiple cities, we all have our personalities. And, you know, this was a long shot that a joint proposal like this could accommodate all of the nuances of all of our communities. And it just doesn't seem like it's going to work. So I'm happy that our staff is keeping in mind the character of our community and the level of service that we want for our citizens, for our needs, rather than being diluted to a certain extent by falling under a larger package. And One other thing as far as with contract changes, anytime a contractor changes, there's difficulties. Passengers get used to certain people and certain routines. New people come in. There's new drivers. There's changes. It disrupts everybody. So usually after several months, things smooth back out and they're okay again. That's not always the case. And, you know, I'm good and bad with every contractor that I've had experience with. And there is one I have to say that I'm very disturbed about and I don't want to see in our city. So I'm really happy that our staff is sticking to what we really need for the quality. And safety issues are very important. And I'm really glad to see that. I was hoping that things would be a little financially more feasible for all the communities. But I'm really glad that that the effort was put to maintain the integrity for our level of service. And I'm very happy with staff's recommendations. So basically, that was just my 2 cents. Thank you.
Roger?
Yes, please. Thank you. And I share what Vicki just said, too. It's very good. Something Noah raised earlier about the wages, and I believe you said 1.5 times the state of California minimum wage. I don't know where California's at right now. What are our drivers making per hour? Are we allowed to ask that, and are you allowed to tell us?
Well, that would probably be a question for the project manager, Susan Brown, who's here, because MV pays their wages. We don't exactly know where they are in the number of years that they are, whether they've just started and what their standing is.
Well, the crux of my question really is, are the drivers receiving enough compensation to keep...
Well, to make it more focused, to get right to where the money is, so to speak, what's the turnover over the last year or two? That's the tail of the tape. So
the turnover issue has pretty much ameliorated itself from the issues that we were having in the first 3 years of the contract back now 6 years ago. I think that turnover was probably more a combination of the project manager at that time was not being responsive to the needs of its employees, and employees were kind of fleeing that situation and going somewhere better, and that's changed, and that the management that they have now is being responsive to their needs, is keeping that morale up. I think Susan Brown may be more appropriate to ask about whether the drivers are happy. I don't hear any complaints. I don't hear anything from the customers, from the actual riders, that they're having an issue with a driver who's grumbling about something.
Let me rephrase it, if I may, and just say, are we keeping our drivers? It's that simple. I mean, do we have a contract out there?
Why don't we ask the project manager?
May I finish the question, Barry, please? Do we have a contract going out in which the drivers are protected, they're comfortable, they're happy, they can live with what they're being paid, and we don't have a revolt on our hands down the road that we can't deal with so that people are left out in the lurch?
Well, I don't know that I can answer whether the drivers are happy with their job. I don't see them on a daily basis.
No.
But we do have within the agreement some incentives that are designed to go towards them. In the past, when a performance incentive was awarded to a company for reaching the various performance targets, it went to the corporation as a whole. It went out of this county. And with the contract that we have now, I wanted to change that, to keep that money here and to give it to the people who earned it, which would be the drivers and the dispatchers. So there's, in addition to the regular wage they get, there are incentives that they've earned over the course of each year, and it in effect kind of bumps up that wage.
Okay. I feel a lot better hearing that, but I think we ought to hear from
Susan Brown, manager. People that said, I just have to make more. I really like working here. But what we've done is tried to get some dedicated people here who have maybe some other source of income, older people that have a retirement income already, and then hire them that way. Because it's almost a job you just want to be dedicated to do, almost like you'd volunteer if you weren't getting paid. And so that's the kind of core people we've got. But if we, when we do take in people, you know, we have had people say, if something better comes along, I really can't afford to stay. So that does happen.
Thank you very much.
How many drivers are there?
12 right now because it's summer, trolley season.
Well, non-trolley for the regular.
Well, they all cross over, so it's hard to say.
Of the 12, how many were last summer driving for Morro
Bay? How many
Bay?
Are still here?
Pardon?
How many are? How
yes.
many have?
Of the current 12.
It'd be easier to say how many's left.
How many's left?
We've only had one person actually leave.
Okay.
That actually did leave. I've heard of, you know, people say that, but they've stayed.
And
And we've had one person that kind of semi-retired but came back. So that's it, just one.
Of the 1.5 minimum wage, how many years does it take to achieve that? Or is that the starting?
They don't get that.
Or of the top wage you now pay, how long does it take?
6 years.
6 years. And that's a beginning to top wage is what percentage? Top wage is what percentage of beginning, roughly?
Or can you give us an entry-level wage and highest paid wage?
Yeah, yeah.
$8.25 to start.
Yeah.
Well, the minimum wage is $7.50.
Yeah.
We train at $7.50.
Okay.
$8.25 to start, 50 cents a year after that.
And are there any benefits associated with it?
We have benefits, yeah. We offer benefits, the company does, for full-time, which is 35 hours and more. And we also offer incentives, and our incentives that are offered besides are in addition to the city's incentives that they offer us. The incentives are for safety, the cash incentives.
Well, that's a very important one. Any other?
I have one. Roger reminded me, and I apologize for needing to add again. Money is for the overall contract, and we can't petition and say we want X amount of this to go to your drivers. We couldn't do that legally. There were times where incentives were set up, and we had no legal avenue to ask the drivers, are you getting those? None. When I first got involved with transportation in this city, you know, over 20 years ago, there was an uproar with employees because they were threatened. Their jobs were threatened if they spoke. We even did anonymous questionnaires to try to get some of the information out, and we were told to stop. So all I'm saying is the steps that are being taken to try to add incentives, the steps that are being taken to try to encourage language like this, you know, 1.5% of the minimum wage, are very positive incentives to keep people who care about their jobs. You know, if morale's down, turnover's higher, there's all kinds of other things. So I'm trying to say that we can't, as a city, get involved in the specifics of an employee when we're contracting somebody. And the steps that Janine's have mentioned, I think, are really, really valuable, especially in our small community. So I'd like to see them encouraged and continued. Mm-hmm. And thank you for coming.
Want to thank you. Well, thank you, and thank you for your leadership on that. I think you've well explained. People use the phrase privatization, but you've well explained what happens whenever government, and this is not a criticism, I'm talking in a larger context, whenever a function is privatized, there are some things. No matter what the level of government, that you can't pursue. I would now like to add my comments, which is just to reiterate the quality of the work, and that clearly from the tone of the report, the effort was worthwhile, it appears, and I wouldn't want that to shut off trying to explore these things in the future. Is there any, was this a one time only and we're not going to return to the table?
Actually, we did a joint RFP almost a decade ago with a number of agencies, and so it is something that we would consider pursuing in the future when all of the agreements expire around the same time. So it's not something we would just shut off because it didn't work this time.
In the summary, it's commented on that something without sharing project managers just purchase the service. And everyone agrees we're going to purchase the service jointly for the same for a better price, because I think if you get a safety manager, say, someone you can be full-time and more in-depth if they're divided among three agencies in terms of their area of expertise, and it's just as cheap. The other is possibly software, joint purchases when you have contracts. It's just that for the next round, because I think those are still areas that potentially could be savings. And the end of this item, I think, is near. If everyone has their questions, I think that we need a motion.
I'll make a motion. I'll make a motion that the Public Works Advisory Board recommend to the City Council accepting of staff's four recommendations. Would you like me to read them back as printed here?
Well, on the
this is page one, the four recommendations. Would you like them read for the motion, or are they, are they okay as stated as is?
I think they're fine stated as is. To just summarize for the public, it's what we've said, that we'll begin pursuing extension of the contract rather than
reject the joint proposal, yeah, and extend the contract, authorize the city manager to go into negotiations with that. May I ask if the board has any comment that it would like to add as a fifth bullet, that as soon as is feasibly possible legally and financially, that we do try to negotiate in that 1.5% minimum wage entry level?
I'll accept that.
Just to correct, that's 1.5 times.
1.5 times.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
1.5%.
Sorry. Thank you.
The
I'll support including that.
Okay. Are you at that now? In the top? Is the top?
Is the top person?
Yes. Is that 1.5%? 1.5 times?
Times. Yeah. A 6-year employee.
Will be 1.5 times.
Right.
And the recommendations you talked about in the RFP, were that be the beginning wage?
This is the starting wage.
Yeah. That is legally and financially possible. Is that Kathy? Yep. Okay. So that's a fifth bullet. Who seconded the motion? Or do we have a second yet? Okay, that's your.
Yet.
We got your full motion. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Roger seconds. Discussion. Discussion. Hearing none, we'll take a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? The ayes obviously have it. That item concludes. And future agenda items, we now have just referred back to the board agenda work plan, which we discussed. In, pardon? Well, we are. It's just, I'm just showing that future agenda items now, because the public is used to saying what's on the future agenda, and go look at this
sanitary
document.
Sewer system management plan,
and
as a possibility.
As a possibility, and I'll have to get with Bill. I think we're at item 12.
Second.
Multiple seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Hearing no opposition, since there were five ayes, mine included, we are adjourned. Thank you very much.